Once again this morning, we're continuing this series of messages on some of the Old Testament prophets, and we've included teaching notes in the bulletin, and I would invite you to take those out and follow along as we go through this message together. And as I was looking at our story for today, I was reminded of one of my favorite television programs in my early teenage years. How many of you remember the TV show Mission Impossible? Yes, and if you're not old enough to remember that, maybe it's good to see who's old enough to remember that. If you're not old enough to remember that, maybe you remember one of the five Mission Impossible movies, the most recent one being just this past year with Tom Cruise. You know, there have only been five Mission Impossible movies, but the television series ran for 8 seasons and had 168 episodes. And every episode began the same way. Jim Phelps, director of the Impossible Mission Force, received this tape-recorded message that described some enemy plot that put the whole world in jeopardy. And only Mr. Phelps and his team had the capability to remedy the situation. Their assignment was always perilous. Failure would mean disaster. And it was said on the tape that should they fail or anyone be killed in the process, the government would know nothing about it. And then the same words always ended the recording. Your mission, should you choose to accept it, and then at the end, this tape will self-destruct in 5 seconds. And as the tape went up in smoke, the theme music would start. Dun, 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 dun. You should have had Invocation sing that, you know, or whatever. Anyway, so Mr. Phelps, of course, always accepted his assignment. He gathered his team of experts. They used ingenious strategies, sophisticated gadgets, and defeated the forces of evil. No matter how perilous, the impossible mission always turned out to be possible because of the impossible mission force. You know, as human beings, we face an impossible mission, and one that is truly beyond our potential. The problem is human sin and its terrible consequences. And no amount of human cleverness, no collection of gizmos and disguises will be able to mend the breach between us and God, to heal the brokenness of this world. But Jesus tells us in Matthew chapter 19 that what is impossible for us is indeed possible for God. God alone can fix what we have broken. God alone can restore what is beyond our power. God alone can bring peace to this world. But here's the amazing thing. As we look through the scriptures, we discover again and again that God chooses servants, people like you and me, to carry out his mission in this world. We are God's mission force. Now, this summer, we're looking at some of the prophets of the Old Testament. God called each of them at a particular time and in a particular place to carry out God's mission. And the interesting thing about this story that we're looking at today is that God never speaks in this story. And yet, as we look carefully at it, we discover that this story is really filled with signs of God's grace. And the first sign is this. The first sign of God's grace at work in this world is God's servants. And God's servants show us that God is on a mission. Two of God's servants are the focus of this story today, Elijah and Elisha. Now, last Sunday, we heard some of Elijah's story. We recalled how God's glorious power was displayed up on Mount Carmel as fire came down from heaven and the prophets of Baal were defeated. And after this great victory, which brought Israel to repentance and ended 3 years of drought, Elijah is undone. And he's undone because the wicked queen Jezebel has threatened to kill him. And as we saw last week, Elijah runs away to the desert, crawls under a tree, just wants to die. When God's angels find him and feed him, and there's that great scene on Mount Horeb where God meets Elijah and sends him back to continue God's mission in Israel. Now, one of the things that Elijah does is anoint a new king. And another thing he does is find Elisha. And in 1 Kings 19:19, we read that Elijah set out from there and found Elisha, son of Shaphat, who was plowing. There were 12 yoke of oxen ahead of him, and he was with the 12th. Elijah passed by him and threw his mantle over him. Now, one of the things we notice as we follow Elijah and Elisha on their journey together is the tremendous commitment, the tremendous sacrifice of God's servants. I mean, Elisha kisses his mom and dad goodbye, leaves his home and his family behind him, and then he does something even more incredible. Notice that there are 12 yoke of oxen. That's 24 oxen. And Elisha, in commitment to follow Elijah, slaughters all 24 of the oxen. And then he takes the farm implements and builds this humongous fire and has an ox roast with the slaughtered meat. And there is so much meat that it feeds the whole community. What a tremendous sacrifice. Elisha leaves behind his home, his family, his great wealth to take up the mission to which God has called him. And for the next few chapters, Elisha follows Elijah, learning to be a prophet. And as we pick up the story here in 2 Kings chapter 2, we once again see Elisha's great devotion to God. And as I read these verses, I would ask that every time we come to the words, "I will not leave you, I will not leave you," that you would read along with me. Now, when the Lord was about to take Elijah up to heaven by a whirlwind, Elijah and Elisha were on their way from Gilgal. Elijah said to Elisha, "Stay here, for the Lord has sent me as far as Bethel." But Elisha said, "As the Lord lives, and as you yourself live, I will not leave you." So they went down to Bethel. The company of prophets who were in Bethel came out to Elisha and said to him, "Do you know that today the Lord will take your master away from you?" And he said, "Yes, I know. Keep silent." Elijah said to him, "Elisha, stay here, for the Lord has sent me to Jericho." But he said, "As the Lord lives and as you yourself live, I will not leave you." So they came to Jericho. And the company of prophets who were at Jericho drew near to Elisha and said to him, "Do you know that today the Lord will take your master away from you?" And he said, "Yes, I know. Be silent." Then Elijah said to him, "Stay here, for the Lord has sent me to the Jordan." But he said, "As the Lord lives and as you yourself live, I will not leave you." So the two of them went on. Now let me ask you, why do you think Elijah keeps telling Elisha to stay behind? Well, some commentators believe that Elijah wasn't sure he was ready to turn over the ministry to someone else. And I know the reluctance that I have sometimes felt as a pastor when I have invested so much of myself into a ministry, and then I got the call to move on and had to turn that ministry over to someone else. Elijah has just poured out himself in God's mission. Can he trust that this new guy will be able to carry on the good work? But then there's another reason I think Elijah was testing Elisha, and that was he wanted to see if Elisha really had the commitment to do what God was calling him to do. God's servants, Elijah and Elisha, with their undeniable commitment to the mission, are signs in troubled times that God is on a mission. They are willing to let go of the past and move into the future with God. Now, what I want to say to you this morning is that you are a sign of God's mission. Remember, who was it that took you by the hand? Perhaps at Vacation Bible School or in some other setting and helped you come to know the Lord Jesus? Who was it that modeled for you love and generosity and kindness and family values? Who showed you the way to heaven? We give thanks for all of those who, like Elijah, have gone before us. But now, the mantle has been passed to us. This is our time. We are called to take up the mission in our time, in this place, to point our children, our grandchildren, our friends, our neighbors toward God. And this is not an easy task because in this world, like Elisha, we hear the questions. Why not just stay where you are? Aren't you comfortable here? Why would you want to step out in faith like that? And my prayer would be that, like Elisha, we would say, "Lord, I will never leave you. Because I know the place you're calling me to is far better than what I've got if I stay here." And so Elisha follows Elijah from one place to the next, until at last they are standing on the edge of the Jordan River. And as our story continues, we see two more signs of God's grace in this world, signs that show us why it is so critically important for people like you and me to continue God's mission. Elijah's mantle and the chariot and horses of fire are signs of God's deliverance. God's deliverance. Let's continue on with the story. 50 men of the company of prophets also went and stood at some distance from Elijah and Elisha as they both were standing by the Jordan. And then Elijah took his mantle and rolled it up and struck the water. And the water was parted to the one side and to the other until the two of them crossed on dry ground. So you get this picture of Elijah striking the water with his mantle, his sign of God's authority, and the waters parting. And it reminds us of other occasions in Scripture where God has delivered his people. It reminds us of Moses, who is leading the children of Israel out of slavery in Egypt, and they come up against the Red Sea with Pharaoh's army pursuing them. And Moses, with God's authority, stretches out his hand, and the waters part, and the children are delivered to freedom. And then later, another story where water is parted. This time it's Joshua. And after 40 years in the desert, the Israelites, led by Joshua, are within sight of the land of promise. They're at the edge of the Jordan River. And the Bible tells us that the priests who bore the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord went across, and the waters parted, and everyone walked on dry land into the land of promise. Parting the water is a sign that our God is mighty to deliver his people from slavery in Egypt, from the wilderness of the Sinai, from the worship of idols in the time of Elijah. And as I think of this, I realize that some of you may be looking for some deliverance today. What do you need deliverance from in your life? Grief, perhaps? Some heartache or worry? An addiction? Deliverance from a critical spirit? Or a persistent sin? This story promises us that as we walk with God, God is mighty to deliver. And God already is showing us the way to that place of freedom toward which we are called. And God is able to deliver us, this story shows us, not just in this life, but also in eternity. For we see that when Elijah said to Elisha, "Tell me what I may do for you." Excuse me. We see that soon, as they continued walking and talking, a chariot of fire and horses of fire separated them. And Elijah ascended in a whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha kept watching and crying out, "Father, Father, the chariots of Israel and its horsemen." But when he could no longer see him, he grasped his own clothes and tore them in two pieces. Now, in the first verse of this story, and now in verse 11, it tells us that Elijah was taken. And what that means is that he was delivered directly from this life into the presence of God. One other Old Testament character also walked with God in the same way, and that was Enoch in Genesis chapter 5. But as Christians, we look at this story and we remember the promise of Jesus. In John chapter 14, he says, "I go and prepare a place for you, and I will come again so that where I am, there you may be also." You see, the deliverance that Jesus promises us is not just from the sins and sufferings of this life. For those who are in Christ, the promise extends all the way to eternity. The promise is that when this life ends, we will be delivered to a new, more glorious life in heaven with Him. Across generations, God's people in bondage have found great hope in the image of Elijah's chariots and horses of fire. They have represented deliverance from this life to the next. This story inspired an African-American spiritual that was written in 1862 by Wallace Willis, who was an emancipated slave. And he wrote the words to the hymn, "Swing Low, Sweet Chariot." I wonder if you remember the words to the chorus of this song, and if you do, please sing them with me. Swing low, sweet chariot, coming for to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot, coming for to carry me home. The great promise of deliverance. We notice a second question in this passage, and it is when Elijah asks Elisha, "What do you want me to do for you? What do you want me to do for you?" And what Elisha asks for is a double portion of Elijah's spirit. Now, what he means by that is not that he wants twice as much power as the great Elijah had. What he means is, just as a firstborn son would inherit a double portion of the estate at the death of his father, so Elisha is asking that God would provide him with everything he needs to continue on the great work to which he has been called, a double portion. And as we move to the close of this story, we find yet a third sign of God's grace, and that is Elisha picking up Elijah's mantle, a sign of God's empowerment. In other words, when God calls us, God provides all that we need to fulfill that calling. And as we would follow His call, just like Elisha will experience, we find that God is able to accomplish far more abundantly than you and I can even now even ask or imagine. A double portion. So we might ask today what Elisha asked. Where is the Lord, the God of Elijah? It may seem to you, in this broken world, in the circumstances of your life, that God is as silent as He seems to be in this passage of Scripture. But just like in the days of Elijah and Elisha, the signs of God's grace are all around us. God is on a mission, and He has called you and me to be part of that in our generation. God is on a mission of deliverance. Jesus died and rose again to make the wounded whole and to open the way for us to heaven when we die. God is on a mission. And the one who calls us empowers us, even a double portion, to accomplish all that God would envision for us, for this church, for our community. God is on a mission. The signs are all around us. May you and I join Elijah and Elisha and be in that great company of all of those who walk with the Lord in this life and are committed with all that we are and all that we have to shine His light in this world. May it be so. Amen.